Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Hey, we are jumping in back into our third week of the series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. I do want to just promote Student Life one more time. So Student Life tonight is at 5 p.m. and tonight they're actually going all the way till 7 p.m. because they're going to be celebrating, kind of recapping their summertime challenge series that they've done. So all throughout the summer, they got points for bringing Bibles, they got points for bringing friends, they got points for knowing what they talked about last week or even knowing what was said on a Sunday morning. So they had four different teams. They competed against each other, and I believe Team Blue won. No, Team Blue is here, so I think that's Corey's team. So, but I think Team Blue won, just in case you were interested. But they're all going to celebrate tonight from 5 to 7, and they're actually going to have BW3's food is in here, so they're all going to eat. So I would say students, ages 6th grade through 12th, I know I said BW3 food, and you're thinking like, dude, I want to come too. But students, 6th through 12th, this is for them, so make sure they come tonight if you know somebody in there. But again, I'm excited as we are in our series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. And again, for this series, what we've been talking about is really defining what it means to be rich. And we've been talking about how often really what it means to be rich is really differently than what we automatically think. Because I think we approach life kind of like we do the game of Monopoly, where we think getting rich is getting more. We think getting rich is taking and having the most. And we talked about how our whole goal in Monopoly is to win. We were supposed to win the most money, win the most hotels, win the most houses, we win the most stuff, right? And I shared a little bit of how about you would never want to play Monopoly with me, because sometimes in the game of Monopoly, we cheat to get more, right? Or we change the rules to get more. And I think too many times we approach life the same way. But what we've been talking about is God has called us to do something completely different. If you missed the last 2 weeks, they've all kind of been building up, so I challenge you to go back and listen to those. You can listen to those on our website. But our main passage of Scripture where we're getting all this and getting this whole idea from is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. So if you have your Bibles, go with me there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Always, if you don't have a Bible, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Just an incredible resource to take with you wherever you go. And how many of you guys are jumping on and reading weekly the Facebook reading plans? Anybody jumped on those? Okay, we've got a few. So if you haven't, every Monday that we throw something on Facebook, and we throw that on there just so that you can read your Bible daily, and it's just a different devotional that's on the YouVersion Bible app. So I challenge you to download that and follow along and do that with us. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 says this. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And again, we've been studying this passage Scripture, and this is Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. Paul started a bunch of churches, and then Timothy actually came and helped oversaw these with Paul, and Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's giving him this warning about how sometimes people's mind can get off the focus of what God wants them to do and can turn to the focus of riches. And he's really telling us the same thing. He's really warning us that we all can fall into this trap of what it means to be rich, where we focus on the riches of this world instead of the treasures of heaven. And because of that, the first week, we really learned this underlying principle for this whole series, which is this. It's more about who you're rich in than what you're in. And again, we see this principle throughout this series. We see this principle really when we look at what God means when he says to be rich. And last week, we learned that everything belongs to God. And really, that's the foundation of stewardship. See, we're rich because we're allowed to be the steward of what God's entrusted us. And that's behind making good decisions. That's the heart behind making good habits and making wise decisions financially, is understanding that everything belongs to God. And once we understand this, once we have this right mindset of what it means to be rich, once we understand that everything belongs to God, it opens the door up for us to live the way God intended us to live. To live a life of generosity. Again, if you jump right there to verse 18, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. This is really what it means to be rich. Right? Having the ability to be able to be rich in good deeds. Having the ability to be able to be generous and willing to share. And if you think about it, though, this all begins with habits. Habits are those little things that are repeated over and over and over again in our lives that make a huge difference, right? Habits, for better or worse, they make a huge difference. And again, choices, they lead to patterns, and our patterns turn into habits. And habits often direct our behaviors without really us even thinking about it or giving consent, because our habits can make or break who we are. I mean, think about habits in your life right now. What are some of your habits? For most of you, we probably have some good habits, and we probably have some bad habits, right? For most of us, maybe hopefully you brush your teeth. That's hopefully a daily habit at least, if not twice a day, if not three times a day, if not, maybe some of you guys are like a little bit obsessive and you like have your toothbrush with you in your pocket or your purse and you brush your teeth like after every meal. Like anybody crazy like that, right? Okay, I knew there'd be someone. There's always that one. The freshest breath in the room always, right? Now, another good habit is probably to floss. Do we have any flossers here? Okay, wow, you guys are good. You guys make your dentist happy. So I do not like to floss, and I always get yelled at when I go into the dentist. I do Listerine, but, you know, it's just not the same. But I think we have these habits that we do, right? Hopefully you guys have a habit of bathing or showering every single day. I won't ask you to raise your hand, because if you don't have that habit, the person next to you does not want you to raise their hand, trust me. But we have these habits. Maybe you guys have some good habits. Maybe you walk every single day. Maybe you exercise every single day. But the thing is, we also have bad habits, right? We have bad habits. For many of us, we may crack our knuckles. We may still, maybe we haven't controlled our tongue. We have this habit of cussing. Or maybe we have this habit of biting our nails. Maybe we have this habit of chewing your hair, playing with your hair. But we have these bad habits. I think we have good habits and we have bad habits. Truth is, this lingers ever into our spiritual life as well, because we have spiritual habits. Again, our goal is for you to have a spiritual habit of praying every single day. Our goal is to hope you have your spiritual habit of opening your Bible and reading it every single day. But we all have habits, and they really determine where we're going in life. Now, for me, a couple good habits. Actually, about 4 or 5 months ago, I created this habit in the morning, and it's actually decreased my coffee intake, because it actually gets me awake in the morning. So like one of my habits, the first thing I do when I roll out of bed is I actually go to the ground and I do as many push-ups and as many sit-ups as I can right there. And that actually gets my blood flowing, so my coffee intake has actually decreased a little bit. I'm not saying it's gone, but it's decreased a little bit, so it gets me kind of doing that. I've been doing that for 4 months, and that's like a good habit that I have. And then right after that, it's like I read the Bible right after that. I know you probably think I was going to say something super spiritual, like right after I get out of bed, I go to the floor and I drop down and pray. No, I do push-ups and then I read the Bible, but still, we have these good habits. And for me, I have bad habits too, which really counteracts the whole fact that I'm doing push-ups, because every night before I go to bed, like I have this habit of eating food. And the food that you eat right before you go to bed, let me just tell you, it's not like a salad, it's not like carrots, it's like some salty snack or a sweet snack. But really, these habits determine our lifestyle. And a lifestyle is no different. It starts with habits. And the principle of habits applies in every areas in our life. It applies to our relationship, it applies to our faith, and it applies to our finances as well. And if you think about it, if you step back and took an honest assessment of your financial life, what would you say you're doing? Would you say that you're gaining momentum? Would you say you're losing momentum? Or would you just say that you're maintaining? What do you think it is? I think the truth is, it's hard for us to see that at times, it's hard for us to even admit that at times the choices we make, the decisions we make about every single day, they're determining and they're dictating our lifestyles of what we can do in the future. Our habits direct our future. Good habits lead to future benefits, whereas bad habits lead to future payments. And this is so true with our finances as well. In fact, our habits, our financial habits, will determine whether we live a life of generosity or whether we live a life of debt. Our financial habits determine if we're going to be stuck with future payments, debt, or if we're going to be a part of these future benefits, generosity. And because of that, this is what I want us to understand. This is what I want us to walk away with today. Debt makes generosity difficult. Debt makes generosity difficult. Financially, debt is making up for what's done in the past, whereas giving is providing for what's to come in the future. And debt works in direct opposition of generosity. That's why over and over again through scriptures, it's warned about the dangers of debt. We're warned about these results of debt. In fact, Solomon, who was known as the wisest of the wise, used it this way and said it this way in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 22:7. And he said this. He said, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." Debt results in the opposite of freedom. Debt results in limitations. Debt results in restrictions. Kind of like this chain up here, right? What do we do with debt? We see it, and because of our mindset and because of what we think means being rich, we want more, and we tie ourselves down to something that we want more. And the next thing we know, we're in debt to this. We're captivated by this. We're captured by this, and then we can only go so far. Like, we're stuck. But really, living a life of generosity is living a life of freedom. When we live a life of generosity, what we're doing, we're reaching out to others. But that debt keeps us from reaching out. That debt keeps us from going any further. It keeps us from living that life that God wants us to live. Debt makes generosity difficult. And this problem, again, it goes back to what we think being rich is. Our idea of being rich really limits us. It really restricts us. Again, too many of us, we fall into this monopoly trap where we think getting rich happens because we take more, because we have more, because we earn more. And because of that, we've created this habit of debt. Listen, if you're thinking right here, like, this message is slapping you in the face because you're like, oh my goodness, like, I'm in debt. This is terrible. I don't even want to hear this. Trust me, you're not alone. You're not alone in this. Our culture has created this habit of chasing after getting and getting more and taking more, and the result is debt. In fact, according to NerdWallet, at the end of 2016, the average household credit card debt was $16,883. The average household student loan, $50,626. It kind of makes you sick, right? The average car loan is $29,539. This is the debt that this is the average that many of us go through. So if you're in it, you're not alone. This doesn't even include like mortgages. This doesn't include any type of personal loans or any other type of debt as well. And why is this? It's because we have this mindset of getting rich is getting more. Being rich is having the most, right? And we've all done this, and it's led to debt. Debt's something really it's easy to drift into, but when we're in there, we have to dig and we have to claw our ways out. In fact, there's some studies that show because of this factor of debt, there's some studies that show that up to 61% of U.S. households live paycheck to paycheck, meaning no savings, no nothing, no backup plan, no nothing, right? And it all goes back to our habits. The truth is, we don't feel the momentum of our small choices until we end somewhere where we don't want to be. And listen, Sarah and I, we understand this. We know this. This is our story. This is where we found ourselves 9 years ago. I've shared this a little bit before, but we were part of this statistic. Like, after our first year of marriage, we kind of sat down and we looked at our lives, we looked at our finances, and the truth was we had $80,000 worth of debt, and that wasn't even including the house. Like, I'm talking, we had, like, student loans, we had credit cards, we had cars, we had motorcycles, we had personal loans, we had all these things, $80,000 worth of debt, and that wasn't even including the house. And what got us there was our bad financial habits. And our bad financial habits caused this tension and this stress in our marriage. It caused some pain, right? I think for many of us, this is where we are. We've had these poor money habits, and it's caused stress in our life. It may have even caused embarrassment in our life. It may have even caused some fights with our spouse. It may have even caused some fights with our kids, right? Really, our bad financial habits, they've caused us to miss out on God using us to our full potential. I think everything we strive for, gain for ourselves, really gets in the way of what God is trying to give us, which leads back to that fact that debt makes generosity difficult. And this is why in Romans 13:8 it says this. It says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." So our action step today is this. It's to get out of financial debt. Get out of financial debt. Now this may sound hard, but it's actually possible. Again, I said Sarah and I looked at this 9 years ago. We had $80,000 in debt. This was before we had kids. But we spent some time. We spent about 2 years, and then we paid everything off. We were debt-free within about 2.5 years. Able to pay everything off because we just made some decent habits. We made some good habits, and we implemented them in our lives. So today is going to be very much a very like practical message. But I think spirituality and practicality, they really go hand in hand. So our practical habits really can create what we can experience and how we can experience God in our lives. So I want to give you some practical behavior to get out of debt. And again, think if you look at biblical principles, I think the biblical principles of money are really about 80% about behavior and 20% about knowledge. So these are things that we actually have to put into place in our lives. We need some good habits. The only way to make good big decisions is to start by making good small decisions. So number one, how do we get out of debt is this. We budget. The dreaded B word. I've talked about this before, but this is just one of these. This is one of these things that we have to implement in our lives, right? And budgeting is this. It's a plan or an allotment of what we have. It's the first step, and it's the first habit that will create a life of generosity. It's the first habit, really, and the first step in creating a life of being able to get out of debt. In Proverbs 27:23, it states, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." And this is Solomon, and he's writing with all his wisdom. And what he's saying, understand where your stuff's at. Understand where your money's going. Understand how much is coming in and understand how much is going out. He's saying budget, and he's saying make it a habit. Budgeting is telling your money where to go rather than letting your money tell you where you can or cannot go. So again, we have a choice. We can either manage our money or we can let our money manage us. So today we're going to spend some time, we're going to look at a budget here just in a moment. And again, maybe you've done this before. Maybe you budget and this is just old news. Maybe you budget and it never worked because you're thinking like, man, I just couldn't stick to it. It has to be realistic, right? You have to have a budget that actually makes sense on paper and can work with your life. So I want to challenge you to do this. Even if you're scared of a budget, this is the first step. This is the first habit that will create a life of freedom and success financially. So don't be scared. Deep breath and we'll look at this budget together. So if we can go to that next slide, it's an example of a budget for you. And this budget is actually, if you want this, this is a spreadsheet that has active fields in it. And you can actually get this at our church website at www.mylifechangedchurch.com. And the link on the very front page, it's in the bottom middle, it says personal finance plan. You can put it there. It's actually a Google sheet. And then you can download it. I would say copy it and download it as opposed to just to start playing numbers because the fields will stay active so other people could see it if you don't copy it into your own. So do that. But this has some active fields in there, but first what you look at when you look at a budget is you look at income. You have to know what's coming in before you know what's going out. So you track how much of your paycheck is coming in, where things are coming from, and again, you may have different sources of income. You can always add fields, but the first thing to look at is to understand what's coming in before you understand what's going out. So that's the income, and then go over expenses. Listen, to live a life of generosity, you have to plan for it. To live a life of giving, to live a life of financial freedom, you actually have to plan for it. So giving should be a part of your budget. So that's one of the first things we put in there. Giving should be a part of your budget. Saving should be a part of your budget. And then there's some essentials that we all need. Everybody needs to eat food at some point, right? So you have to plan for it and put that in your budget. If you drive a car, it costs money to drive your car. It costs money to put gas in it. So plan for that. You probably want to live somewhere as well, so you're going to have to allot money for a rent or mortgage. And then there's all these different types of utilities, whether it is in certain expenses that we need or insurances. So electric, water, insurance, phone, cable, trash, all those things are things that you can allot for and put and plan for each month. And then also, if you are in debt, you're going to have to pay it. They're going to come after you if not, so plan to pay it and put it in your budget so you're paying it off. And then I say too, generally, we put spending money. This is kind of an example of what Sarah and I's budget is, just zeroed out. But there's spending money as well. Don't plan for what money you're actually going to spend and just letting it instead of just spending it and then not knowing where it went. These are all ways just to budget, and we have to do this. It's so important to budget. It's the first step. Good financial habits, they begin with a budget. To get out of debt, it starts with a budget. To live a life of generosity, it starts with a budget. So number one, to get out of debt is to budget. Number two is pretty simple, is to quit using credit. Sounds simple, but most people often skip this part, right? This is the one where everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get out of debt, but yet they still continue to use credit, right? You still apply loans. You still swipe your credit card. Listen, stop. Stop using credit. Stop applying for credit. Stop applying for loans. Stop using your credit card, right? Stop the bleeding. If it's not in the budget, guess what? You don't get it. It's not under the part of what the income is, guess what? You don't get it. And for some of you, this means that you really need to go home and you need to cut up your credit cards. For some of you, this means you probably need to remove some apps from your phone. That way you're not tempted just to buy something right there. For some of you, this means you might need to remove your credit card information from some website. Listen, Amazon Prime wants you to one-click something, right? Because they want to get your money. They don't care that you're going to pay for it years and years later. But you need to stop and take that temptation away. Listen, when Sarah and I got out of debt, this is what we had to do. We had to cut all our credit cards up. For Sarah, she'll sell, but swiping a credit card is like therapeutic for her. She loves the way it felt. She's like, this feels great, right? She'll swipe the credit card. The chip readers may throw it all off, but hey. But back in those times, right, she would swipe a credit card all the time because it was therapeutic for her. So we had to take them away. You would think like she was going, like you would think she was on some type of drug or something, like she was going through withdrawals when we took her credit card because she wanted that. It was therapeutic to her. But we cut all our credit cards up. In fact, we actually cut them all up except for one. And what we did with it, it sounds crazy, but we wrapped it up in duct tape like multiple times, like so much so that like it was like a safety net. But really, I don't even know why we kept that as a safety net, but we wrapped it up. We're thinking like, man, okay, we can never use this. And let me just tell you, it actually really deterred us from using it because you don't go into the store and say, hey, I'm going to get that. Here's my, people look at you weird when your credit card's wrapped in duct tape. But what you have to do is you have to stop the bleeding. So I challenge you, do whatever it takes to stop the bleeding. But quit using credit. Number two is quit using credit. Number three is to sell, sell, sell. Find a way to create other income that comes in so that you can pay off for stuff, right? Again, sell, sell, sell. In our area of life, Sarah and I actually got like, we sold, 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 and then we actually got jobs, jobs, jobs. I think we're working three jobs at a time at the same time that helped us kind of get through that phase. But sell everything you can. Again, sell everything. If you don't need it, sell it. If it's just a want, sell it. If you have credit card debt or if you have any type of debt and you have something that's just a want and not a need, it should be sold. Sell it. Sell it on the Facebook selling wall, sell it on a Craigslist, sell it on a garage sale, but sell it. And here's the big part, which seems like a no-brainer, but use that money to pay off the credit. Like that money's not to go out to eat and think, woo! No, it's used to pay off that debt. It's used to pay off that, right? Sell everything you can. Again, being rich is not about getting the most. Being rich is not about taking the most. So selling stuff isn't a way of becoming poor. It's actually a way of becoming rich. It's that step towards generosity. It's that step towards becoming debt-free. So sell, sell, sell. And then number four is implement the debt snowball. And again, these steps aren't new, right? When you hear the debt snowball, you're probably thinking like, dude, he stole that all from Dave Ramsey. Yes, I did steal all from Dave Ramsey, right? They're practical steps. They're things that you can do every single day. But sell and sell, sell, and then implement the debt snowball. And again, if you want to know a little bit more about this, the Financial Peace Life Group that we had promoted, it didn't fully start yet, but what we want to do is we want to actually load that up with people before we launch that. So on your Connect card today, on your response card, what you can do is say, hey, I would be interested in financial peace. And then we're going to keep your name and we're going to build that group up and then relaunch that. So if that's you and that's where you want to know and you want to know some of these principles of how to do that, you can put that on your response card. But we have to budget, we have to stop using credit, we have to sell, and then we have to implement the debt snowball. And what this really does, it allows you to get traction and momentum in the process. And here's what you do. You list all your debts out except for your house. And there's another kind of example of this. You can check this slide out. But we list all our debts out in order of lowest payoff to highest payoff. And then you do everything you can to pay off that lowest balance. So if we go to that slide, it's the debt snowball. You put all your items there. So that's all your debt. Again, listed in lowest payoff to highest payoff. And what you're doing is you're really disregarding interest rates. You're just ignoring all that because what the biggest thing that helps to get debt paid off is just traction. It's momentum. And the first thing, when you pay off that first debt, whatever the lowest balance is, you take that minimum payment and you apply it towards the next. And then it continues on. Once you pay that next off, then you take those two minimum payments and then you apply it to the next. And pretty soon, you have some momentum going. You've got some chunks of money that's actually going to this debt. And next thing you debt-free. And again, this is another form that's found on our website, and it's in that same link, personal finance plan. These are Google Sheets, and on the bottom two tabs, there's the budget and the plan. So it's the same really Google Sheet with just two tabs underneath it that you can do this. But this is set up for you so that you can do this right now. But to do this, to do the debt snowball, you have to make a commitment. It really is. It's more than a hope. It's more than a wish, but it's a way of life. It's habit after habit after habit. And once we do this, you can live debt-free. Because debt makes generosity difficult. But you don't have to live in debt. You don't have to live that way. You could budget. You could stop using credit card. You could sell. And you could implement the debt snowball and live debt-free. And for some of you guys, you are already there. If you're already there, I would tell you this. Take somebody alongside of you and walk with them and get them to that same point so that they can live that life. For some of you, you think this is just a hope or a dream. But let that hope or dream become reality. I mean, think about it. Imagine living financially debt-free. Imagine living, being able to live a life of generosity where you feel you could give where God's called you the way to give. Again, it would be living Romans 13 out, and where it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves has fulfilled the law. Instead of financial debt, it would be a debt of love. Love of one another. And really, that's the lifestyle he has planned for us. That's the lifestyle that he has planned for us, the law fulfilled, because we are free. God never intended us to be chained down. God never intended us to have chains that were keeping us from what he planned for us, right? He never intended us, but he had plans for us to be rich, rich in him, rich in good deeds, rich in generosity, to live free and to be him. This is, again, why he gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus so that we could be free from the bondage of death, free from the bondage of sin as well. But we have to live financially debt-free. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to put those in place right now.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.